We choose your money matters, and we start with the numbers that matter. You heard about those near record gains. We're going to break it down in just a little bit. We get new CPI data tomorrow. We'll all be focusing on the suburban office vacancy rate, edged up again, an all-time high. 32.2% of suburban offices are vacant. Postal Service wants to raise the cost of a stamp from 73 up to 78 cents. And the price of gold at $3,099 an ounce. That number sponsored by AmeriCast Jewelry and Coin, where you can always buy your precious metals at TopCashBuyer.com. You can sell them there too. Gas prices down a penny. And those are the numbers that matter on Your Money Matters. It's Wednesday, April 9th, 2025. Our only Your Money Matters this week on a week where our money matters the most. I just really quickly, before we get into our Worker Wednesday, I see his picture all the time. I'm sure you do too. When they try and get reactions of a trader on a volatile day, they always photograph Peter Tuchman. He's a stock trader on the New York Stock Exchange. He's the guy that looks like Einstein, and they call him the Einstein of Wall Street. He's got that great hairstyle, and he's got these great facial expressions. When the market's way down, he buries his head in his hands, and the photographer takes a photo and all the TV stations use it. When the markets are way up, he's way happy. So really, you could just look at what Peter Tuchman's photos are each day to know what happened today. Today, he looked really, really happy. We'll talk a little bit about why with Craig Bolanos in a bit, but it is a Worker Wednesday, and we're, as always, joined by our good friend Ed Maher. It's sponsored by United Healthcare, quality health coverage for labor unions. Ed, how are you doing today?
You know what? I'm doing better today, and I imagine you are too, because I was thinking you might have to change the name of your show to Your Money Mattered
up until past tense. That's good. Yeah. That's a good joke. I'm mad I didn't think of that one first. You're the Associate Executive Director of National Coalition of Labor. You coast the workers' mic here on Sunday mornings. Big lawsuit coming the way of the president, right?
Yeah, this is something that happened on Monday. A group of unions are suing to block an executive order. Last week, the president issued an executive order saying that the agencies across the federal government no longer have to bargain with their employees. So there are probably a million or 1.3 million federal employees that are part of unions, and they're granted that right through federal law that's existed since the 70s. And the president put together an executive order that eliminated collective bargaining for over a million employees, which, you know, it exceeds the power of an executive order, but I think that shouldn't surprise anyone. But there was a group, a veteran group, that came forward and said that approximately 30% of federal employees are veterans. Veterans make up an enormous portion of the federal workforce, you know, compared to the private sector workforce. So this move would be devastating to, you know, hundreds of thousands of veterans. So these unions, five unions in total, have filed a lawsuit seeking a restraining order on this. You know, I've got to think that they'll get it. I certainly hope that they'll get it, because it's an awful thing to take away a million workers' hard-earned rights, you know, with the stroke of a pen, just because.
You sent me that stat of the number of federal employees that are veterans, and I thought, well, that number of 30% must include the fact that we consider veterans still on the payroll because of their pensions or something along those lines. No, 758,000 federal workers are veterans. That is triple the rate of employed in the private sector, which is great. I think our federal government, if they're going to employ people, you couldn't pick a better group of people with leadership skills and abilities to do things than veterans. But you're right to point out that this certainly will affect them in many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think the federal workforce has been sort of unfairly mischaracterized as, you know, lazy, not hardworking, that kind of stuff since mid-January when the administration began. And, you know, I think we just have to keep in mind what an enormous portion of that workforce is veterans. And it's great that they're employed. We've got to treat them right, though, along with every employee who works for the government, like every employee who works anywhere.
We look forward to your show on a Sunday morning. I'm sure you'll dive into it deeper than we're able to here, Ed. But as always, it's great to chat with you,
yeah.
Okay?
You as well, John. Take it easy.
Great, Ed Maher. And that was sponsored by United Healthcare, quality health coverage for labor unions. We're going to break into our Financial Literacy Month coverage with the Republic Bank of Chicago. Financial Literacy Month, as always, the past couple of years, our good friends at Republic Bank of Chicago have stepped up to help us learn a thing or two to make things a little bit better throughout the month. Jack, Nick, hello, my friend. Good to talk to you again. Week number two.
Always a pleasure, John. How are you?
Good. You know, I'm kind of amazed for something as important in our life as a credit score, it's not all that old. They came about in the late 80s, and they dictate so much about our financial lives, don't they, Jack?
They certainly do, and you're absolutely right. It's in the cosmic sense, it's a newer phenomenon, but it impacts almost everything we do in our financial lives.
And it's more than I think people realize. Some states have outlawed it. I don't remember where we are. I don't think that Illinois has done this yet, but your credit score can determine how much you pay in car insurance beyond just the loans you get. So what goes into a credit score, Jack?
There's really a handful of components, and before we get to those, you're absolutely right. You know, to know your credit score and to be able to manage it is so critical. It can affect what you pay for insurance. It can affect whether or not you get utilities hooked up at your house, or even, you know, if you want to buy a home, right? Of course, you need it for a mortgage, but even if you go to rent an apartment or something, a landlord may pull your credit score to see if you're good to cover the rent. But it is immensely important. And the things that go into it, there's five things. It's largely your payment history, right? In some respects, history is predictive of the future. If you've got a good payment history, that's going to help you out a lot. The amounts that you owe, how much credit you have versus how much of that credit you're using comes into play. Length of credit history, so the older your credit is, the better. The credit mix, is it all credit cards? Is it credit cards and installment loans? Are there student loans? Any kind of credit or loan gets taken into account. And then new credit, kind of opposed to the length of your credit history, they also look at new credit. Are you applying for new credit cards? Are you applying for new loans? Because that might be indicative of some harder times that maybe you're facing and could be potentially kind of overstretching yourself a bit.
So you mentioned those five levers. Is it a matter of just pushing up or pulling down the lever the right way to move that score in the direction we want it to go?
I don't want to oversimplify it, but to some extent, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the lever for payment history, it's are you making your payments on time? Are you not, right? It's yes or no. And everyone misses a payment here or there. I think everyone does. We're all human. And if you miss one, right, I don't think you're going to see your credit score tank. I'm not certainly advocating that you miss any. But that lever is largely yes or no. Are you making your payments? Are you not? Do you owe too much or don't you? Are you applying for too many credit cards or new loans, or aren't you? So if you kind of throw those levers the right way, you can really see your score. If you have an excellent score, you can maintain it. Or if you need to boost your score a little bit, you certainly can do that by, as you suggest, throwing those levers in the right direction.
Yeah, just knowing what goes into it really helps. Our good friend David Hochberg here at WGN once told me, and he was absolutely right, that instead of paying, because I'm very lucky right now to pay my credit card, knock on wood, in full every payment, instead of doing that payment once a month, I just do it every week now so that the credit agencies, when they pull it, no matter what, my credit usage is lower than if I happen to get it at the wrong time of the month where it looks higher. I hope that made sense to the listener, but basically by paying it every Friday instead of once a month, I saw an immediate 5 to 10 to 20 point increase in my credit score. There's little things we can do to manipulate's the wrong word, but just take advantage of the things we can do, Jack.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. There are little, I guess what I would call pro tips, like the one that he gave you. And in fact, not only can it help your credit score, but for those who maybe aren't lucky enough to pay off their entire balance every month, even if they send something every week in that case, it cuts into the interest that they have to pay over the course of the month. That's why you'll see some people, they'll send bi-monthly mortgage payments instead of one. Not only does it kind of accelerate the pay down as it relates to your credit score and what the bureaus see, it also reduces the long-term interest that you pay.
That's great. Jack, any other tips you want to leave our listeners with here?
You know, you're entitled to a free credit report from the bureaus once a year. Get it. Be aware of what's on your credit report. pay attention to it, because your credit score is, it's everything as it relates to your financial life. So take advantage of that free credit report. Look for tools from your banks to manage it and monitor it. And you will be okay over time.
I got one more for people. I actually got two things. One, if you did miss that payment, like totally on accident, I did it once for a clothing store I have a credit card for that I completely forgot I'd used and not set the automatic payment. I called that company and I'm like, look, I have a good history with you with doing this. Can you not report that to the credit bureau? I caught it soon enough. And they didn't. They decided not to send that report on over. Call the credit card company if you miss one. Sometimes they're flexible with that, especially if you have good history with them, Jack.
Absolutely, John. Absolutely.
Yeah, just fess up to it.
It benefits you to do what's right.
Yeah. And last but not least, I'm going to mention this, Jack. This is a John Hanson aside. I'm not putting this in your mouth, Jack, because I don't want to put Republic Bank of Chicago on this. But things like rent, where they can check your credit, often don't go towards your credit. Car insurance, they can check your credit and determine your rate there. But your car insurance payments don't get reported to credit, I don't think. I think if they're able to pull your credit for something and use it to determine, then your payments to that thing should count towards your credit in a positive way. That's just what I'm saying, Jack.
And you know what, John? I can put my consumer hat on just like everyone else out there and say, I agree.
All right.
If you use my credit to judge me, then what I do should be reflected in my credit.
All right, let's write a bill together, Jack, Nick. I think that'd be a
good
way to do that. You do great work at the Republic Bank of Chicago, and I look forward to next week's tips, okay?
Absolutely, John. Have a wonderful week.
For sure. We'll continue financial literacy stuff in just a bit. Republic Bank of Chicago. Bank smart. Bank Republic. Get connected today. Okay, last week I asked for a couple volunteers to learn ChatGPT, or at least try it, as we try to demystify AI. I was demystified to it till last year. Maggie in the West Loop volunteered, and now she has been demystified to ChatGPT as well. Hey, Maggie, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, John. Thanks. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks for volunteering to do this. And we had a lovely conversation last week on the side. And you were eager to, you were already kind of thinking about trying out ChatGPT and our call and our, to ask for volunteers help put you over the top, huh?
That's right. The stars perfectly aligned. It was exactly what I've been wanting to do. Is I've never used ChatGPT. I've had a couple of projects that I thought, I think it could help me with. And so it was perfect timing, and I did pick up a few things.
Oh,
so
good.
Thanks for forcing me to finally do it.
There you go. I said I tasked you with doing something in your personal life and something business or financial related. We may only get to one of these today and talk through it. We can save another one for another week. But Maggie, do you want to do personal or business financial stuff first?
I'll go with the business one. That's
okay.
The one I started with and focused on and have the most insight on. So I chose to just go with like building a personal budget.
Oh.
Like I needed to get back on track, and like what I've just lost track of my finances. And so the prompt I used when I and I don't know if you wanted some, I can get into some of the basics of
yeah.
the site, but it's really easy where it's run by OpenAI. And so I just Googled OpenAI ChatGPT, and it took me to the website where it was just the box in the middle, and it said, ask me anything. And I typed in, my personal finances aren't complicated, but I've lost track of them. I have direct deposit. My bills are auto-paid. I'd like to get my finances under control. Can you help me?
Ooh.
And I was really impressed by the very first response it gave me, where it was just, it outlined steps, and the steps were easy to follow. It wasn't overwhelming. It was great.
Did you follow up with more questions or ask it to do something different, or was that first answer good enough to at least give you kind of a task list of things to do?
What's great is it gave you action points. And so it told you, we're going to understand your cash flow. And then it told you a little bit about income and expenses, but just like one little bullet point. And then it tells you, go download your credit card or bank statements. And then they're like, we're going to categorize your spending. They're like, but don't get overwhelmed. So like, we'll keep you. And so I said, they're like, so get some of this info. Do you have any of this? And so I just put in my my weekly pay. And I said, I just know I have a car bill and an auto loan, and that's it. And it gave me a template with the information I put in. And it actually gave me like a budget tracker. And it said, would you like me? It actually gives you a lot of suggestions. Would you like to track your finances manually or on an app? I could show you which one. And so it really, like, gives you options you didn't even think of yourself. You go, oh, I didn't know there was a template I could use. Sure. And I asked it for a Google Sheets template, and it searched the internet for me and gave me a Google Sheets template. I was also curious where this template was coming from, because for security purposes, right. I didn't want to download something. And I asked it, where is this template coming from? And it gave me the link to the NerdWallet website.
Ah, and, which we have on our show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And so then it even took me to a website. You could stay within ChatGPT, or you can go explore all of these sites that it's pulling from.
So to sum it up, it seems like it's things that maybe you could have figured out on your own if you had the time and energy to map it all out, but it succinctly put it for you in a way that, I don't know if motivated the right word, or just like made it seem more attainable.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, I noticed the biggest difference is when you Google search something, you're dealing with search engine optimization and sponsored results and, you know, for-profit sites trying to get you buy something. Here, this is more just the information, and it's very empowering. It's all there. It's, I found it to be just very empowering. These are things you might not have learned from somebody, or you might not know where to start. And it laid it all out there. It was so easy. It was amazing.
We're out of time today, Maggie. I know I had already asked you if you can come on next week. We'll talk off the line about when you'll come on. But we'll talk about the personal stuff. And then I do want you to talk about maybe things that were clunky about it, because I don't want to make this seem like it's an advertisement for ChatGPT. It's just a tool that I want people to learn. But that's a really cool experience. Our WGN listener, Maggie in the West Loop, volunteering to do this. And Maggie, we'll talk next week or so, okay?
Sounds good, John. Thanks.
Oh, that's so nice of Maggie. And she put it so well. What a great prompt to put in as we all learn ChatGPT together. Okay. Boy, I could have talked to Craig Bolanos the entire show, but we had to pack a whole week into one show today. He's the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. Get retired, stay retired.com. Craig, been a busy week, huh?
John, it's great to be with you. I feel like I just had an exorcism because my head spun around three separate times, just like that famed movie from the 1970s.
I think an exorcism is the polite way to say it. I think you could say any number of things about the last 5 days or so. Craig, where to start on this? I mean, I guess the question is, okay, great. Well, we look a little better. We feel a little better looking at our 401k than we did yesterday. Still down from where we were a week ago. But is this a dead cat bounce? Is there a new normal here that has been established? I mean, there's no way to know for sure, Craig, but what are your kind of initial vibes looking to tomorrow and beyond?
John, is this a securities trader show? Dead cat bounce? Way to use trading vernacular. I love
you.
It. You know, dead cat bounce, meaning a bounce off of lows that's going to get sold and we're instantly going to go back down. Hence a dead cat. This rally doesn't have nine lives. I think that's what you're referring to.
Right.
No, here's what I want to tell everybody. In the simplest of ways, yes, you just saw the NASDAQ stock market go up 12% in a day. You saw the S&P 500 go up 9.5% in a day. There could be a follow-through rally. Why could there be a follow-through rally on top of today? Simple. This entire story is not structural. It's not cyclical. It's policy driven, and policy is controlled by man, and man can change their mind on a dime, hence more to come.
So here's what a lot of the palace intrigue is about now, Craig, was whether the president blinked because he saw not only where the equities market was, but where the bonds were, and he blinked. Or this was 4D chess, because these countries still have 10% tariffs on them. Canada and Mexico still has 25%, China over 100%. But by establishing higher tariffs originally, the 10% medicine seems easier to swallow. And Craig, my question to you is, it's a little long, but I'm wondering, does it really matter? Because maybe the fact that the president, even if he did blink, it shows there is a guardrail to what the policy, his buy into his own policy is. And the market might take some solace knowing that there's that guardrail in place.
Well, I think there's been a guardrail the entire time, John. And the reason there's a guardrail the entire time is, number one, interest rates could get out of control, which would force the president's hand and we'd have a policy change. Number two, a severe amount of economic pain could cause constituents, which are members of Congress, to distance themselves from the president. That would in and of itself create a policy change. Third, midterm elections are real. Fourth, very similar to the War Powers Act, which now requires an act of Congress, you could end up seeing, if things got a lot worse, you could seeing members of Congress decide to create legislation that's filibuster-proof to remove executive agency authority to use tariffs. So there's a lot of checks and balances here. All of these news events were bound to be finite no matter what. That should give people comfort. I'm not saying the president's actions are wrong. I'm not saying they're right. I'm saying we have a system of checks and balances that, regardless of the reason, blinking or just great strategy, it could be either one, it eventually works itself out. And that's why I want people listening tonight not to have knee-jerk reactions, but to use what just happened as a professional pause, a chance to reassess what they want their portfolios and their investment themes to look like.
Yeah. I mean, this was a great lesson this week in don't try and time the market, Craig. I mean, if you sold yesterday, my goodness, you missed a 12% bounce up on the NASDAQ. You have to get it right twice, and that doesn't work. That's not a plan.
No, that's not a plan. And listen, the futures are positive. The foreign markets are taking their cue from us. I mean, Japan's Nikkei index is set to jump 11% in the overnight hours. So, you know, this trend might continue, but I think people shouldn't just get passive. I think people should, again, use this as an opportunity to say if their risk tolerance and their risk budget was out of line, take rallies as they unfold because you always get a second chance to do the right thing. Let me repeat that. You always get a second chance to do the right thing. The slow correction in markets, which was up until the Rose Garden speech or Liberation Day, that made sense. But now people have a chance. You have a Dow Jones that's only down 4% for the year, an S&P that's only down 7% for the year. We might have another day of rally. Are you going to hold? Are you going to buy? Or should you trim? That's a personal decision, but that's what everybody should be thinking about right now.
And one they could be having with you, getretiredstayretired.com. The interesting thing about China is that we now have 125% tariffs, and this trade war, if you want to call it that, I don't know, between us and China. You mentioned the checks and balances of our system of government with like midterm elections and the realities of a razor-thin Republican majority in the House. China doesn't have things like that. They measure things in dynasties. They can devalue their currency on a whim. They locked down their entire country for years because of COVID. Is this a hard war, quote unquote, to win against a country that just doesn't operate the way we do?
Well, let's remember, no one wins a war, but wars redraw borders. Wars can reset global policy. And I think that's what's happening here. We're redrawing some borders. Those are borders on trade. Those are borders on components. Those are borders where people are going to seek to diversify their supply chain. And if that's ultimately what this chess match is about, people might look back and say, mission accomplished. Just case in point, 2018, 21% of every component that came to the United States was from China. January 1st of this year, that number is down to 14%. How much lower could that number go? Could go significantly lower, and that has implications.
Interesting. If people are feeling, the volatility thing is just what has obviously been so crazy the last few days. When you take the long-term look at things, as you often do and advise people to do, maybe not so much. I did find it interesting in the notes that you sent over that the financial crisis of 2008, the NASDAQ enjoyed two of its best 5 days ever. Meaning that even in the throes of what we regard as the worst economic crisis of this century, current one, I imagine, there's a lot of bad or good days in there, too. I guess that's just a way to say, Craig, just you guess you never know what tomorrow brings, huh?
No, you know what? You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. And, John, you and I have talked, and I think listeners on your show in particular know that preparedness and flexibility are the hallmark of any good financial plan, any good retirement plan. And this event was a reminder that preparedness and flexibility aren't just to be desired. They're a must when people are seeking solutions.
I have 30 other questions for you, Craig, but I don't have time today. People can go to getretiredstayretired.com to chat with you. More Vest Gen Wealth Partners. Craig, take care, okay, buddy?
Be good, John. Look forward to talking to you soon.